who were giving their wonderful classes during Gaur Purnima festival. But as French people say, c'est la vie. Nothing can be done here. And few days ago, Chandramouli Maharaj gave his nice translation for the famous verse. The famous verse is Mukam Karoti Vachalam. And his translation was, even a fool can give a class. So let's see how it will work today in my case. We are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 4, Text 33. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritam Narom Cheva Narottama Devim Sarasvati Yesam Tato Jayam Udирая наштах прешабан решу нитья Бхагавата севая Бхагават уттама шлоке бхактир бавати найшти. Okay, text 33. This is Hansa Guhya prayers, and let's try to read. Yonungahartham bhajatam padamulam. Yanugrahartham bhajatam padamulam. Anamarupo Bhagavan Anantaha. Anamarupa Bhagavan Anantaha. Namani Rupani cha janma karma bhir. Bidje sahyam paramah prasidatu. Bidje samahyam paramam prasidatu. Thank you so much. May I ask you just to move this slightly this side, otherwise we cannot see it, yeah? Thank you. Thank you. It's okay? It's okay now? Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Thank you. And now towards Prabhu. Anyway. Okay. So. Okay. Fine. Perfect. Thank you. Let's try it once again. Yonigrahartham bhajatam padamulam. Anamarupa Bhagavan Anantaha. Namani Rupani cha jankarma bhir. Bhijje samahyam paramah prasidatu. Yanugrahartham bhajatam padamulam. Anamarupa Bhagavan Anantaha. Anirupani cha janma karma bhir. Namani Rupani cha janma karma bhir. Yanugrahartham bhajatam padamulam. Vaishnavis. Thank you. So there are a lot of familiar words here like Bhajatam, Padamulam, Anamarupa, Gava, Ananta, Namani, Rupa, Pinjana, Karma. So let's go word by word translation. Yaha. Who? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anugraha Artham. To show His causeless mercy. Bhajatam. To the devotees who always render devotional service. Adamulam. To His transcendental lotus feet. Anama. With no material name. Rupa. O material form. All Bhagavan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anantaha. Unlimited. All pervading. And eternally existing. Namani. Transcendental holy names. Rupani. His transcendental form. Also, Janma Karma Bhih, with His transcendental birth and activities. Bhajya, manifests. Aha, Bhakti, Mahyam, into me. Parama, the Supreme, Prasidatu. May He be merciful. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is inconceivably opulent, who is devoid of all material names, forms, and pastimes, and who is all-pervading, is especially merciful to the devotees who worship His lotus feet. Thus, He exhibits transcendental forms and names with His different pastimes. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose form is eternal and full of knowledge and bliss, be merciful to me. Let's repeat after me. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is inconceivably opulent, who is devoid of all material names, forms and pastimes, and who is all-pervading, is especially merciful to the devotees who worship his lotus feet. Thus he exhibits transcendental forms and names with different pastimes. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose form is eternal and full of knowledge and bliss, be merciful to me. So this is our today's verse. And before we'll go to the purport, we are very fortunate today. We have more than 2 pages of purport. So whatever you will hear today will be almost only Srila Prabhupada. That's nice. So before we will go there, I would like you to pay attention on this special point here. There is something special about prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam. Usually Srila Prabhupada say that, you know, less intelligent, interested in stories. Guess who are that less intelligent? Interested in stories. And more intelligent, interested in philosophy. But what about prayers? Prayers are not philosophy, not stories, no philosophy, but both of them. And even more than stories and philosophy. Because prayers comes from the universe, different universe, universe of devotion. That's all about prayers. And as well as in Mahabharata, all this go to the main point of philosophy, to Bhagavad Gita. Same way in Srimad Bhagavatam, all philosophy goes to the prayers. That is something special about prayers. And here we will get a purport by Srila Prabhupada, where if you will listen carefully, you will understand something very important. If you remember from Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chami Divyam Eva Yo Veti Tattvataha Tyaktva Deham Punarjanma Naiti Mamati Sorjana. If you understand, really understand the transcendental activities and appearance of the Lord, living this body, you will go back to his eternal abode. That is promised by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here, Srila Prabhupada wants to have the chance to understand his appearance and activities, transcendental activities. Okay, and usually all stories go very fast in Srimad Bhagavatam. Page after page, page after page, even without any Srila Prabhupada's commentary. And philosophy goes intellectually intense. When it comes to prayers, Srila Prabhupada doesn't want to be fast. And for each and every prayer, he has pages and pages of purports. Because he wants us to switch off our mind and be really concentrated on every word of the prayers. That is our devotional. He wants us to be very attentive. Because we know that if we are not attentive, it's an offense. And we don't want to be offensive. And here, Srila Prabhupada, in his purports, what he does, he's churning every word of a prayer. He's churning it again and again until it becomes as a done cream. Fresh, thick, soft, and relishable. So in this purport, you will not find anything new. All concept from this purport is well known all around the world. But Srila Prabhupada nevertheless wants us to read it again and again. So what is new here? Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Something new? Nothing. But still Srila Prabhupada wants us to read it again and again. And he says in Bhagavad Gita, he says that reading matters remain fresh despite of repeating reading. So let's check. And here, Srila Prabhupada, in this purport, he follows his heart. and let's try to follow him. That's how maybe we will get some really deep insight from Srila Prabhupada. But it won't be easy. So let's do it. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In regard to the significant word Anama Rupa, Sri Sridhara Swami says, Prakritta Nama Rupa Rahito Pi. Surprise, there is no translation here. But basically, Prakritta Nama Rupa Rahito Pi means that Prakrita, something mundane, ordinary, usual, and Nama Rupa is name and form, and Rahi means deprived. So the Supreme Personality of God is deprived God of Prakritta Nama, all mundane Nama and Rupa. So the word Anama, which means having no name, indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material name. No material name. And here Srila Prabhupada will give you a proof or an evidence how we can prove that there is nothing material in the Lord's name. So the proof is simply by chanting the name of Narayana to call his son, Ajamila attained salvation. This means that Narayana is not an ordinary mundane name. It is non-material. The word Anama, therefore, indicates that the name of the Supreme Lord do not belong to this material world. The vibration of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is not a material sound. And similarly, the form of the Lord and His appearance and activities are all non-material. Show His causeless mercy to the devotees as well as to the non-devotees. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears in this material world with names, forms, pastimes, all of which are non-material, transcendental. Unintelligent man who cannot understand this, think that these names, forms, and pastimes are material, and therefore they deny that he has a name or a form. So basically what Srila Prabhupada says here is that usually people see any material names, forms and activities around themselves in this material world. Only material names, only material pastimes, only material forms. And usually all these names, forms and activities just the cause of our frustration. And the logic behind that is that if all names, all activities, all forms here in material world give us only frustration, seems like the Lord doesn't have any form, any activities, any pastimes, any forms and names, because otherwise they will be the source of frustration. That's why usually people deny that he has a name or a form. Then, Srila Prabhupada says, very interesting point, consider it with scrutiny. The conclusion of non-devotees who says that God has no name, and that of devotees who know that his name is not material, are practically the same. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material name, form, birth, appearance or disappearance. No material name, form, birth, appearance or disappearance. But nevertheless, he takes his birth, Janma, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 4:6. Ajopi sanya vyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san prakritim svamishaya sambhavam yatma mayaya. Although the Lord is unborn Aja, and his body never undergoes material changes, he nevertheless appears as an incarnation maintaining himself always in the transcendental state Shuddha Sattva. Thanks God that you are appearing again and again here. Thus, he exhibits his transcendental forms, names, and activities. That is special mercy towards his devotees. How? How is that special mercy? Sometimes we think that the special mercy is if the Lord will take us out of his material world. That is special mercy. But he does something quite opposite. He comes here to deliver. That is his special mercy. And Srila Prabhupada says here, others may continue merrily arguing about whether the absolute truth has form or not. But when a devotee, by the grace of the Lord, sees the Lord personally, he becomes spiritually ecstatic. So there are two options here. We can argue whether he has his form or not. Or we can just go downstairs and check if he has or not, and see him and take his darshan and see how he reciprocates with us and become spiritually ecstatic. Okay, there is another point here in this purport. Unintelligent persons say that the Lord does nothing. Unintelligent persons say that the Lord does nothing. Usually we say that the Lord does nothing, aren't we? We do. Yeah? We say that, you see, the Lord just does nothing, and it's all Brahma who does all the work, because the Lord is the supreme enjoyer. He has nothing to do. Really? But Srila Prabhupada says here, unintelligent person says that the Lord does nothing. Actually, he has nothing to do. Nevertheless, he has to do everything, because without his sanction, no one can do anything. Okay, let me repeat for you this proverb again. Okay, he has nothing to do, but he has to do everything, because without his sanction, no one can do anything. Do you follow Srila Prabhupada? So the Lord has nothing to do, but actually, he has to do everything, because without his sanction, nothing works. The unintelligent, however, cannot see how he is working and how the entire material nature is working under his direction. His different potencies work perfectly. And how we cannot see that he is working. You see, when we think that this material world is imperfect, we cannot see how the Lord is perfect. The Lord is perfect means that this material world is perfect. Everything is going perfectly here. Whatever happens with you, it's perfect. That's how we can see that the Lord is perfect. And he has nothing to do, but he does everything, because without his sanction, nothing going on. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate natat samascha bhya vikascha drishyate parasyakti vidhaiva shrayate svabhavika jnana bala kriya cha shveta shvatara upanishad 6.8. He has nothing to do personally, for since his potencies are perfect, everything is immediately done by his will. Everything is immediately done. His potencies are perfect. Persons whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not revealed cannot see how he is working. And therefore they think that even if there is God, even if there is God, he has nothing to do or has no particular name. Why do they think it about that by this way? Because they just cannot see, because the Lord is not revealed to them. So he does nothing to do, and no, he has no particular name. And then something interesting happens in the purport. Actually, the Lord's name already exists. The Lord's name already exists. How come? Because of his transcendental activities, the Lord sometimes called Guna Karma Nama. What does that mean? Guna Karma Nama means that his Nama depends on his Guna and Karma, on his qualities and his activities. Because he is named according to his transcendental activities. For example, Krishna. Krishna. Krishna means attractive. This is the Lord's name because his transcendental qualities make him very attractive. As a small boy, he lifted Govardhan Hill. And in his childhood, he killed many demons. Such activities are very attractive. I don't know about the demons, if that activities are attractive for demons, but for us, they are attractive. And therefore, he is sometimes called Giridhari, Madhusudana, Agnishudana. It's how we sing in Vrindavan. Bolo Hari Hari Mukunda Murari Rama Krishna Hayagriva. Because he acted as a son of Nanda Maharaja, he is called Nanda Tanuja. These names already exist. But since non-devotees cannot understand the names of the Lord, he is sometimes called Anama, nameless. This means that he has no material names. All his activities are spiritual, and therefore he has spiritual names. And the last paragraph, Generally, less intelligent men are under the impression that the Lord has no form. Therefore, he appears in his original form as Krishna. Because they think that he has no form. Therefore, he appears in his original form as Krishna. Satchitananda Vigraha, to carry out his mission of participating in the battle of Kurukshetra and pastimes to protect the devotees and vanquish the demons. Paritranaya sadhanam vinashaya chadushkritam. This is his mercy for those who think that he has no form and no work to do. Krishna comes to show that indeed he works. He works so gloriously that no one else can perform such uncommon act. Although he appeared as a human being. He married 16,108 wives, which is impossible for a human being to do. The Lord performs such activities. The Lord performs such activities to show people how great he is, says Srila Prabhupada. To show people how affectionate he is and how merciful he is. Although his original name is Krishna, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, he acts in unlimited ways, and therefore, according to his work, he has many, many thousands of names. That was Srila Prabhupada's pulpit, his prayers about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna. And now, well, the time to offer our praise. Om Agyanti Vrandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Vritam Yana Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manu Vishtam Stapitam Yana Namupakuta Mahyam Dadati Svam Padantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasa Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And now there is no time to discuss, so let me just make a final point here. Usually we say that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is not an ordinary man because he is married 16,108 wives. But is it that difficult? I mean, even in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 9th canto, you will find an example of a king who is in the dynasty of Krishna, I guess, who has thousands and thousands of wives, more than Krishna had. So it's not something uncommon for human being. But what is uncommon here? That he has 16,108 wives, and he has 16,108 palaces, and in every palace we have separate Krishna. 16,108 Krishnas in every palace. And when he comes, okay, when they all come out of their palaces and go to the assembly hall, all 16,108 Krishnas, they become one. And by the time he enters to the assembly hall, he is only one Krishna, not 16,108 in the assembly hall, only one. And we said here that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is inconceivably opulent. So that is some specific opulence here. So 16,108 wives, that is an opulence. But 16,108 palaces is more about his opulence. This all the creation, all the precious jewels and whatever that. But what about millions of universes in this material world? What about millions of planets in the spiritual world? They all belong to Krishna. And in spiritual world, there is another secret there. All this opulence is, how to say, extending forever. Extending, extending, and extending forever. So that is his opulence. And usually we say that Krishna is uncommon human being because he lifted Govardhan Hill. But we know that actually, I'm sorry to say, but was that Durga Muni who lifted up Govardhana Hill, and he was carrying it. And there was Hanuman who was lifting up all mountains. So what is that uncommon about lifting up Govardhana Hill? Well, first of all, when the Lord lifted up Govardhana Hill, he was 7 years old, and he was carrying his Govardhan on the tip of his smallest finger on his left hand. But it's okay. Okay. But you see, Durvasa Muni, he had to stop carrying Govardhan Hill because of, how to say, call of nature. And you know, Krishna didn't have any call of nature during 7 days. And I mean, well, let's discuss further. When he was lifting Govardhan Hill, and that is mentioned in Madhurya Dhamma, Guide to Govardhan, by Padmalochana Prabhu, and I don't know the reference where he got it from, but he says that it's not like, you know, like in the picture, he's lifting Govardhan Hill, and all mud is there, and worms are hanging down from the Govardhan. No, it's not like that. There is an opulent city below Govardhan, with all different opulent residentals, quarters, and there were daily activities going on, so it's quite uncommon. Anyway, you may argue and argue and argue again if he is a human being or if he is not, but we would like you just to see him, his form, names, beauty, and opulence. So because we are in the prayer part of Srimad Bhagavatam, and because there is a long day ahead, let's just repeat this prayer again. Please repeat after me. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose form is eternal and full of knowledge and bliss, be merciful to me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you so much. Any questions or comments? Yes, Vasudeva Prabhu, we have a mic.
Thank you for a wonderful class. I especially appreciated your glorification of prayer, because that is very rare here, and you did it also devotionally. One point you touched upon, Prabhupada touched upon, is that in this world there are many material names, and everything is material. People see everything material. I would like to know if you could say a little something about how, what makes things material. Is it just dependent on our perception, or is it because they are material regardless of our perception? Because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that Yomam Pashati Sarvatra, if you see everything related to me, then I am everything. I am all these things, and everything is in me. So how do we understand this Achinta Bheda Bheda aspect?
Thank you for your question. So your question is how to understand that the Lord's names are not material, how to understand that they're transcendental.
Yeah, I'd like to know if they are material or whether that is only our perception that makes them material.
So how to understand? Let's take case with devotees, and usually you see us, you all have the same experience. As soon as you've heard the first time Hare Krishna Kirtan, your heart became full of joy and happiness. And this experience you still remember, that keeps you here. So it's not possible by any material name. So we have that experience that it's not material. And how to understand, and another like aspect of your question is it kind of becomes material, or this is our relationship with the name, or reciprocation of the name, or perception of the name, yeah?
Yeah. If I may add, just like we get this experience, let's suppose I'm in front of the ocean and I repeat the name ocean with devotion and linking it to Krishna, would that make the ocean and the name ocean spiritual? That is really the core of my question.
Okay, so the name are definitely spiritual, and there is no doubt about that, because we have this experience and we can taste it again and again if you are chanting attentively. But sometimes there is a sense that nothing is going on. The sense is that it's maybe already material sounds. So it's not, because the holy name is transcendental, nothing can contaminate the holy name. It's still spiritual, it's transcendental. But what about our relationship with the holy name? They are so tender and soft, they may become easily contaminated. And because of that contamination of our relationship with the holy name, we lose that sense of transcendentality. And in this case, we can feel, okay, it's material sounds again. But it's only, how to say, because of our relationship broken with the holy name. And the only, how to say, way rectify, I mean, regret about that, cry about that, and build it again. Maybe by Krishna's mercy, we will get that wonderful taste again. Is it okay?
Thank you.
I think your question was even more deeper, but...
Maybe there's no time. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Rajendra Nandana Prabhu.
They may be my own thoughts. First of all, I should say thank you very much. It's wonderful. They may be my own thoughts, but I hear Vasudev Prabhu asking, what about that which we consider to be material? Are those spiritual or are they material? So yesterday I was quoting Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, where he was saying, these things, they are all Krishna, but behold my mystic obvious, they aren't Krishna. He was saying they aren't coming from his sarup, his internal potency. They come from his external potency, which is its own, it's a separate energy. It comes from the Lord, so it is the Lord. That's the Achintya Bheda Bheda you brought up. In terms of asking, does it become spiritualized by chanting ocean, ocean, ocean? the thoughts come to me. Devotees ask Srila Prabhupada, pure devotee, an Uttama Adhikari, he sees nothing but Krishna. How is that? Do you see the form of Krishna when you see the pillar or the tree, etc.? They said tree. And he said, well, I see, there's a little paraphrasing here, but he said, I see the energy of Krishna and am reminded of Krishna immediately. And he gives an example where the mother or father may see the tiny little shoes that the grown child wore when he was a little tiny one. But seeing those shoes, they immediately think of their loved one. And you mentioned ocean. So when the two things came to mind that could be an example of how a Mahabhagavat would be reminded of Krishna and thus always seeing or thinking of Krishna. Three things. In the 60s, when they had their first Rath Yatra there in the Kirtan by the sea, when Prabhupada did the Prema Dwani, at one point he said, all glories to the Pacific Ocean. And in Bhagavad Gita, we know that Krishna says that the body is water, I'm the ocean. A little bit more esoterical, or even bringing it closer to Krishna, he told the devotees, these waves, you hear the sound of the waves at the ocean? I live in San Diego, so you hear the ocean waves? He said, that is just like the sound of the gopis sighing in separation from Krishna. So you can bring that to the point, the absolute point, that for the pure devotee who has love, every sound vibration and everything that exists, even in this world, is transcendental. It is Krishna. Because the love, it takes him to Krishna. But simultaneously, there's the aspect that it is from his external energy, and that's there. But the devotee, once he's on that platform and he's thinking of Krishna, he's not really philosophizing like we do on this platform to come to that platform. He sees Krishna everywhere. It's the absolute statement for him. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says there's two kinds of sound vibration. Actually, all sound vibrations, Lord Chaitanya taught the Sanskrit language, all words actually are glorification of Krishna. They come from Krishna, they're glorification of Krishna. But due to our cutting ourselves off from that, due to competition and envy, we see, think, and speak material sound vibration. Does that help a little?
You say both that it is Krishna and it is not.
Depending on the consciousness of the person.
Yeah. It sounds like a complete contradiction because it's not in the context of the religion.
Thank you.
I can add a drop to the ocean. If we say like the if we say about Tattva philosophy, the holy name is Nitya Mukto Purnashuddho, is eternally liberated, eternally and completely pure. The ocean is not, at least for me. So, practically, if someone chants continuously the holy name, even with offenses, actually it is recommended, then you will come to the point of being purified by this transcendental sound vibration of the name of Krishna. But if someone chants ocean, ocean forever, you will not be purified. Or you will be, if there is a rasa, maybe it is chanted by a devotee, and hear it. If someone hears the holy name, the transcendental vibration eternal of the holy name of Krishna from the lips of a genuine devotee, that will have even a stronger purifying effect. And if he hears all glories to the Pacific Ocean, from the lips of genuine pure devotee, this field also will have a purifying effect.
So I guess that was a comment, not a question, yeah?
Yes.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. Or comments?
Do you mind? You, in the mood of churning, because it was so many things I liked hearing what you had to say. In terms of Krishna marrying 16,108 wives, you showed the contrast. He could support them all very opulently. The thought also crossed my mind, when we hear of a man marrying many women, they're never all satisfied. Where in contrast, all the queens of Krishna were completely satisfied. Something no man could, it's impossible.
Impossible. Thank you.
Almost impossible for one man, one woman.
Also, Krishna remains completely peaceful and transcendentally completely satisfied, which is even more impossible for someone who has many, many wives.
It seems like there is no more questions. The meditation is going on, so Shri Prabhupada ki jai! Om Prabhupada Hari. All glories to Shri Prabhupada.